So question 127 reads of Lord's Day 52, what is the sixth petition? And the answer there is given, and bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That is, since we are weak in ourselves, that we cannot stand a moment. And besides, since our sworn enemy, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, be pleased to preserve and strengthen us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may not succumb in this spiritual warfare, but always offer strong resistance till at last we obtain complete victory. How do you conclude your prayer? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is all that we ask in thee, because thou, as our King, who has power over all things, are both willing and able to give us all good, and that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. What does the word Amen signify? Amen signifies, it shall truly and surely be, for my prayer is none certainty, well, for my prayer is more certainly heard of God than I feel in my heart, that I desire these things of Him. Well, congregation, let us now open the Scriptures to the book of James, James chapter 1. We're looking at James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. So James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Here is the reading of God's word from the book of James. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat, then it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Well, may God bless the reading of his word to our hearts together this day. Well, congregation, we've been going through the Lord's Prayer. We've learned that the Lord's Prayer really, if we're more specific in our title, is really the disciples' prayer. The disciples have asked the Lord to teach them to pray. It's a prayer is just simply not easy. It's the hardest work of the Christian, Luther had said. That it's the hardest thing to do. And the Catechism has taught us, I think rightfully so through Scripture, that it is the greatest expression of gratitude. It is the greatest expression of thanksgiving. To communicate with the Lord God and to pray according to His will for that His kingdom would expand and that His name would be hallowed. And that He would give us the ability to have food for our sustenance, not only physically but spiritually as well, so that we would really learn the truth of that statement that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord God. And that we would forgive others as the Lord has shown us to forgive. And that these truths are at the core of who we are as Christians, and they ought to be at the core when we pray. I'm amazed with regard to my own prayers, that how I neglect these petitions. Here the Lord has told us how to pray. And sometimes we really get angry with God, do we not? When we say, Lord, what is your will? What is your will about this particular thing or that particular thing? And then we get a little angry, or we get a little filled with doubt, or we don't have the faith that we should have because the Lord hasn't disclosed to us His will. Those are the struggles of the Christian life, and we realize that, and some days are better than others. But here with regard to prayer, the Lord hasn't just left us to His secret mysteries. The Lord has given us His will right here. Pray, Thy will be done. And I have to confess to you that often in my own prayers, I forget these petitions. Too many other things have crowded out these petitions that the Lord said, pray like this. Pray with the passion that you're standing before your Heavenly Father, that you've been adopted into the Heavenly Family through regeneration, and that all of the privileges are yours through adoption. Pray with the strength that the Lord God is seeking to hallow His name through you, through your family, through your job. That the Lord God is seeking to hallow His name here at Covenant Reformed Church. And that He is feeding us. And that He's willing, as our Heavenly Father, to give us everything that is good. Well, in our last portion of the Heidelberg, or of the Lord's Prayer, we learned out of the Heidelberg that there are times when we need to confess our sins before the Lord. And that it is important that we do so. Primarily, it's important because of our relation to God. It's absolutely important to keep that fellowship, that living fellowship before the Lord God. The Lord God is our friend by covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it keeps our relation with God vital and living. Confession brings renewal for our fellowship with God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we need renewal. You think of when you eat your food, when you sit down and you eat dinner. That's renewal. When you're working on your home, that's renewal. The Lord, throughout life, teaches us that renewal is absolutely important, fundamental to the Christian life. We do have a tendency to get very, very tired and lazy. And lethargy comes into our hearts. And when we confess our sins before the Lord God, it brings out the issue again and again and again that we are to be dependent upon Him for all things. You notice how the Catechism relates to that issue. That over and over and over again, the Scriptures teach us, and we're reminded in the Catechism, that we are to die to self. And realize how dependent we are upon the Lord. And confession brings that renewal. It reminds us that we're not as independent as we think we are. As a matter of fact, we're not independent at all. We're totally dependent upon the grace and mercy of the Lord. But secondly, also, in relation to our neighbor. Confession is important. In relation to man, in relation to our neighbor, our confession is to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. So there's not just simply a vertical relationship here, but there's also a horizontal one. And this is a true mark of a true Christian that brings forth a forgiving, gracious spirit, is always seeking to promote Christ that way in forgiving. That's hard to do, isn't it? Especially when people have done you wrong. And how does that forgiveness work itself out? Those are difficult things. One of the key characteristics or marks of a true Christian is his ability to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Well, today we deal with the final request of the Lord's Prayer, known as the sixth request, lead us not into temptation, coupled with some brief thoughts on the doxology and amen. The doxology is a fitting conclusion of our Lord's Prayer, which is then sealed by the word amen. Our subject is faithfulness and protection in the midst of temptation. The points of the sermon are two. First, our prayer to remain faithful during the times of temptation, during those times when God pulls back His grace and allows us to fall into sin on our own fault and in our own responsibility. And so our first point is our prayer to remain faithful to the Lord God. And then second, some remarks on doxology and the amen. Well, first we learn that in these words of the sixth petition, that we need to pray for God's grace so that we would remain faithful, so that we'd be able to persevere. Because this is a bloody war, a spiritually bloody war against Satan, against the world and its worldliness, and even the desires at times of our own heart. It's a real battle. And we need to pray that God would give us the grace to remain faithful, especially in the midst of temptation and struggle. Because there is much confusion about the Lord's words, we need to understand the word temptation a little bit. The word temptation has essentially two meanings in Scripture. First, the word temptation can mean for positive growth. You remember that David had prayed, "Test me, O Lord. Tempt me, O Lord. Come into my life with real, true temptation, Lord." And so the word, the first way in which it's used with regard to a positive end or a positive means to an end to give us growth. And we see that in James chapter 1. It is for our good to be afflicted, for our personal maturity. In this sense, the word temptation is best understood today by the word trial, hardship, affliction. This is important because the intention and purpose of this kind of temptation is to benefit the individual, to benefit the church. In relation to God, it gives trials or temptations to His people with the idea of promoting their good and declaring His glory. A biblical example is Adam in the garden when the Lord said, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for then you will surely die," in Genesis 2. Adam is presented with temptation there, is he not? With a choice to either obey or disobey for a greater relationship with God. Another example is found in the trial or test with Abraham himself in the sacrifice of Isaac in Genesis 22. Again, Abraham is presented with a trial or test to prove that he is a faithful believer in the Lord's promises, that he is loyal. Maybe Abraham was struggling with his own faith. The Lord had given him this test to prove to him, not to God, God knew, but to prove to him that he was a faithful believer and that he would be the example in further generations of what it means to be a true, faithful believer in going through temptations of life for you and for me. In the New Testament, we see our Lord being tempted, being driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and then the Lord permitting Satan to go to him and to test the Lord. Those tests remind us that this Son of God, who has taken on human nature, needs to demonstrate his faithfulness, and he did in defeating Satan. We're reminded of it, for example, again in James, in the scriptures that we had read in James 1:4, that God's trials are profitable. It's hard to believe that truth, isn't it? But we know that trials bring more maturity to our faith. And James reminds us of that God's trials are profitable because they produce a maturity. They produce character. As Romans chapter 5 reminds us. It brings a sense of purity. It brings things into a priority. Makes life a little more clearer on just exactly what life is all about at times. And we need that reminder. We need that renewal in our life. But secondly, though, the word temptation or trial can also be a means to do evil, though, or to be enticed to sin against God's commandments. The intention and purpose of this kind of temptation really is negative. It means rebellion against God. A biblical example is Satan tempting Eve in the garden in Genesis 3. Or Jesus' temptation with regard to Satan's own heart and coming before the Lord. Satan is there to bring evil, to bring sin, and has nothing good but to prowl around looking to who he can deceive into greater and greater sin and greater condemnation. And so here we have tempt in the negative sense of the word. The emphasis on the Heidelberg Catechism in relation to the Lord's Prayer is temptation as means to do evil, especially our sworn enemies. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. We need God's persevering, enabling grace. In prayer, then, we are reminding ourselves, as the Catechism reminds us, that it is God who upholds us and makes us strong with the strength of the Holy Spirit so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle. Jesus himself, by means of the Holy Spirit, our great comforter, will never give us more trials than we can bear in the victory. But it's still a trial. It's still real. You know, this is really the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is to keep us bound to Christ by a living faith. You see, every aspect of the Christian life is dependent upon the Lord. Here we see it even in this petition, that this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to keep us bound to Christ. For if it were not for the Holy Spirit bearing testimony that we are the children of God to our hearts, as we're told in Romans, then we would wander about in a blind fog, never to find our Heavenly Father, and to drift further and further away. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that we can firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, grants us a thirst for holiness, we cleave to our Lord by faith and love and obedience. In this we see the Holy Spirit uses the Lord's Prayer not as a binding rule, not as a law, so to speak, to its form or to its structure, but to its content, which ought to motivate our hearts to fervent and genuine prayer.
See, when we pray this petition, we're just being transparent before the Lord God that we cannot win this battle on our own. And that as we fall and as we have these temptations and trials that come into our lives, it is the Holy Spirit that helps us to realize that there is abundant grace, that God is our Father, and God will see us through to the end. And so we see the gracious character of the Lord's Prayer here. To be motivated with our hearts. To be fervent, to be honest. If we would just simply learn the fact that we are to be dependent upon God for everything. Everything. Especially through prayer. As we can see, temptation is often complicated because we abuse and often fail at the trials of our faith. For example, when God brings a good and healthy trial of lust or covetousness, we have set before us a good trial. Our responsibility is to make the proper decision in obedience to the Word of God. Unlike an unbeliever, like Cain himself, who made the wrong decision, or Ahaz, or Jezebel, or Judas, and others in Scripture. It is our responsibility then, prompted through prayer, to make the proper decision in obedience to the Word of God. We see that challenge in the consistory room. As elders and as deacons. Here's a good trial. Here's a good trial for the church. To see the glory of God. Will we make a proper decision? That's grounded upon the Bible? Or will we be afraid of men's and people's faces? That's true as parents too, isn't it? This is a good trial. You ever say that to your wife, husbands? This is a good trial for us. What will we do with regard to our daughter or to our son? This is a good trial. Will we be found faithful? Like our Lord Jesus, we need to love prayer and to seek the glory of God first in prayer in our life. We can bring all sorts of examples where temptation comes to us and confronts us with real trials, like the internet, to those sweet, frowning providences that God brings into our life to increase our faith and reliance upon Him. Think of social media. Think of the temptations that are on social media, and it's incredible. Such is the way of life for us as we live in this world because, as the Catechism reminds us, by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And that's what this sixth petition is reminding us over and over. Actually, if you really study all these petitions, the Lord is just teaching us more and more to depend upon Him. And because of our weaknesses, Jesus reminds us in the sixth petition that we are easily enticed and manipulated away from the things that please our majestic Heavenly Father. In other words, the sixth request means that we should be very sensitive about constant schemes and assaults of the devil. The devil is out there. He's real. He's not something to play with. And this petition reminds us of that simple fact that the devil is not our friend. He doesn't come to us. He comes to us as a father of lies, and he's a murderer from the beginning, and there's no truth in him at all. I'm always reminded of our Lord being tempted as the devil showed him all the nations of the world. If you just bow down before me, I'll give you all these nations. I didn't know it was the Satan. Satan had the authority to do that to begin with. I didn't know he was king of any of those nations. The king was the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is a liar. The world in which we live in is a fallen world. And its worldliness seeks to suck us down and away from the Lord. in our own flesh. There is a desire in our hearts to do that which is evil. Just think of the trials and temptations our Lord went through. From the devil in the wilderness to death upon a Roman cross. What was our Lord's reply? Not my will be done, but thine. Jesus is following his own prayer that he gave to the disciples. Again, we see our Lord as he rested upon the Father to win victory over sin and death of his people. Listen to Jesus' words, "Do not fear, I have overcome the world." The scriptures tell us about our Lord Jesus in Hebrews 4, verse 15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus has been there and done that. Jesus was tempted, and he gained the victory for us. He beat the devil, defeated the devil on every stage for you and for me, to give us the ability to pray with confidence that our high priest, our comforter, our advocate, our surety is there on our behalf. The scriptures remind us that our high priest can sympathize with us. And so then let us find comfort that the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, shall see us through to the end. In this fiery fight that we have, this spiritual battle with these easily besetting sins, that we would go before the Lord and say, "Oh Lord God, give me the ability to fight against Satan, the world, and even my own heart at times." One man put it this way: "This then is our plea, that we may not be defeated or overwhelmed by any temptations, but may stand fast by the Lord's power against all hostile powers that attack us." That's the bottom line of this petition. And so, congregation, while it is the promise of the Holy Scriptures that God is faithful, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Yes, that's the promise. But let us not tempt God with disobedience, with recklessness, with imprudent decisions, lest he withdraw his grace and we fall into the pit. Let us be comforted that the Holy Spirit will bind us to Christ by faith, so that our Heavenly Father showers us in the midst of the battle with faithfulness and divine protection in our perseverance. Well, finally, our Lord's Prayer reminds us to always give glory to God for his matchless grace in Christ Jesus, and seal each and every prayer with an amen. Prayer, the greatest expression of gratitude, is the glory of God displayed, lived out, expressed in our life. And that's why we've said over and over again to those who are struggling, those who find that they're drifting away from the Lord, that the first thing you ask someone, that even I ask myself, "How is your prayer life? Are you stumbling along? Or are you battling through it?" There are times when we don't want to pray. Have you ever experienced that? The devil will always put something in front of us to make us put it off, to delay our prayer time. And whether your prayer is always at the same time of the day or throughout the day, the devil is always there to keep us away from prayer. And that's why it's important to ask, how is your prayer life? When we pray, then we should always praise God, for He is a righteous and holy God, who is rich in grace and mercy. That is what makes this God of the Scriptures, the triune God, so vastly different than all the pagan religions that are out there. That He seeks to bless His people richly and has mercy poured upon them. Remember 1 John, I think it is, chapter 3, where John marvels over the lavish love of God, the lavish mercy of God in making him a child of God. Do you still are moved by those words of Scripture, "For God so loved"? Those are beautiful words that are sealed upon our hearts, but they need to be sealed upon our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer. That God is a good God, a righteous God. All doxologies demonstrate the truth of Psalm 115, verse 1. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory because of your love and your faithfulness." The congregation, the doxology here reminds us of the words of Romans 11, one of the greatest doxologies in all of Scripture. And that Paul in Scripture often ends maybe a great teaching or a prayer that he has with a doxology. Jesus is always the object of the doxology, because Jesus is the object of all of our affections. We pray the words of the doxology to express that the Lord God is our powerful King and He's able to give us all that is good. God will keep us from evil to the praise and glory of His holy name. And we say to God, may that be sealed in heaven. May that be sealed upon our hearts as a congregation, as a family, as individuals. We say, amen. Lord, may my prayer be thy will. Lord, may my desires be your desires. May my thoughts be your thoughts. O Lord God, mold me into the image of your Son, so that I would pray that your name would be hallowed and separated from the rest of the world. That your word would be sealed upon my heart and loving thy will be done. That your kingdom would expand in my heart first, and then through the church, and through the missionaries and the mission of the church, and through its classes. And so we pray, Lord God, seal this truth in heaven. And so we pray, amen. May God bless us as His people. May our prayer life be sealed with an amen. May our prayer life as a church be one that's filled with passion, and may we be vibrant in the truths of Holy Scripture. May God bless the preaching of His Word to our hearts. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord's Prayer. Each petition, Lord, sets forth that we are a dependent people upon you. Oh Lord, help us to die to self. Help us to die to our own desires, so that we would pray sincerely and with great passion, "Thy will be done." Oh Lord God, we thank you and praise your name that you give us the ability to forgive others. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to feed us the bread of life. Not just the bread that we eat and taste, but the bread that comes down out of heaven. Feed us, Lord, to see your kingdom expand. Help us, Lord, with regard to the trials and tribulations of life. Lord, it is a battle. It's a battle that's been won by the Lord and is sustained through the Holy Spirit and Word by the means of grace that you supply to us through the church. Help us, O Lord, in our families and our young people, that they would cleave unto you through true prayer, and that prayer would be the sure mark of a true converted soul. Help us, Lord, to pray for one another and to pray that the name of Covenant Reformed Church would be known for exalting the name of Jesus Christ, primarily through prayer. Oh, Lord God, bless our time. Bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.